Esther in chapter 3 and commencing to read at verse 1. After these things, then King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him, and set his seat above the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants loved her, and the king gave power and reverence to him. For the king had troubled and did concern him. But yet Mordecai heard not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants which were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? And it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai heard not, nor did have reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn, or he thought it a little thing. He thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, that is, the month Nisan, in the 12th year of the king Ahasuerus, they cast her, that is, the lot, before Haman, from day to day and from month to month. In the 12th month, that is, the month Adar, Haman said unto the king Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among thy people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those which have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and they were written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were on every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus, was it written, and sealed the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces, to destroy, to kill, to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women. And the one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan unto the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. Now chapter 4 of verse 1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city, and cried with a loud and bitter cry, and came even unto the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. Verse 4, so Esther's maids and their chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the king, the queen exceeding grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth from him. But he received it not. Then called Esther for Hadad, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. Now we turn to verse 12 for the sake of time. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance
And notice how these two are meeting again. Tears and tears and tears and tears. After it all been dealt with, here is the house of Saul in Mordecai, and here is the house of Agag in Sin and Haman. And here they meet again. Years and years and years after a certain incident. Now in that incident, God specifically said to Saul, this was his last chance and he didn't know it. This was his last injuring himself. God says, go and fight the Amalekites. Spare not, man, woman, oxen, ass, everything. Fight the Amalekites. You can't preach in this chapter without going back to that incident. It's so potent in this passage. The lesson is so good. And when Samuel comes to him, he says, I've done all the Lord has commanded me. And Samuel may be getting old and gray-headed, and we would say around here he's getting old. But he can still hear, and he can still see, and this is where he said to the king, if you explain the Amalekites, what hears the bleeding of the sheep in my ears that I hear? How is it all? This is all spare. And of course, the quick kind of man, he's always got a reason, and he's always got a quick excuse that he has. He says, unto your God. There is one son, Saul, unto your God. And he spared Agag, the Amalekite. You know, later on, there was not only Agag spared, that was only the front, but it says even after the battle of Ziklag, it says 400 young men of Amalek fled away in the camels. Now, well, that family has come to Agag, right? To terrorize, to persecute, and to put to the sword the people of God. What is the lesson? The lesson is simply that there are certain things that God would have us, and those that he's written, we will do well with them. There are certain questioning teachers, and certain important things, and God in his wisdom teaches us to come clear of them, and to be separated from them, and to cut them. You remember, in thy man of thee, Count it out. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy right foot offend thee, cut it off. And you remember the Lord God, cut it off and cast it from thee. What he's saying is this, that there are certain things in life. There are some things you can give a dose of medicine for. There are some things you can give pills for. There are other things you can apply bombs to, but there are certain matters that must be answered. There are certain things that must be answered. You must separate yourself from everything that's lovely. You must try and fight, and you must put to the death everything that's sexy. Mortify, says the apostle in Colossians, mortify those with your members which are upon the earth, fornication and fingers, lasciviousness. Mortify them, bring them to the cross. Man that will not put to the sword these matters will be troubled all his days. And here is this man, then. And Mordecai wasn't from that. And Mordecai wasn't to blame. all the food money that we've got on. Well, you know, if they mentioned that word, the big money, you would just have thought, oh, that's what I like. Gentlemen, thank you much, really.
Well, thank you.
What I want to say is, when men are in position, what an influence for a good thing to be.
Yet, what an influence for you.
Oh, here's a man, and I want to see him.
I'll see you stand out of the Mordecai. I announced this little lad was crossed by this man, Mordecai. He said his heart, and he got a very small thing. He said to the Mordecai, once he knew who Mordecai was and who his people was, he wanted to go for a great story. Right out from this life, right from the exit, but God showed this book, and in the fiery furnace, in the bush there, the fire of the bush, and yet the bush is not consumed, that is Israel. Whether it's Pharaoh, or whether it's Haman, or whether it's Herod, along with that. What a wonderful note that is today. You know the problem you have with people? I hear both. Think a little bit. If you're watching and you go out and even if not to be a victory, even a gracious disposition, you are being loyal to God and to all, and you'll find them coming around you, and the angels of the Lord will encamp around you. And it's amazing that people are all coming for your deliverance. But if you notice what Mordecai said, he didn't just say there'll be deliverance. He says there'll be enlargement and deliverance. We would be happy just getting delivered. But he says there'll be enlargement and deliverance from some old form.
So Mordecai was a Christian. Mordecai was a born optimist. So not only be delivered, but there'll be enlargement and deliverance.
Not just deliverance, there was enlargement. You know, in this decree and in the promotion of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, there came with that a little pressure, a little condition. And he says that everyone that saw Haman talked about it in Haman. Now, I'm sure of this, that he must be very big with this little deputy.
You know, everybody does like to be acknowledged. A little bit of fame, a little bit of space. Everybody likes to be acknowledged. You know, there are people deserving to be acknowledged. You know, out in the world, the man if you're superior, he deserves to be acknowledged. And you know, the people that are in the meeting that they are very good people, very good people, they should be. And you've got your own thing that people thought, the thing that people thought, and look at the deal, there's an honor to the people.
There's no adoration to do anything.
And the minute that Mordecai heard that he had heard the name, this is what he made up his mind. I'm a slave. I'm a forfeit. I'm a nothing. I'm a god. But I come flying up, like God in the 137th Psalm, by the river of the battle of the Epic that term, we wake and we remember Zion, we hung our hearts in the Lord. And seeing that he was prepared for the song to sing and all the songs of Zion, we've come low, and we've come far, and we've come far up, we'll not disgrace our God by singing the songs of the world.
We would rather lose our
women, lose our trust, than mock our glory in each other. What Mordecai is saying is this. He is a nation. what was and the vision